wondering whether they might have done better by going back and trying the gateway. But the water seemed to be rising once more, and if they got trapped again, it was unlikely they would survive for a second chance.
Well, nobody ever gets anywhere going backward.
He pushed past the fronds of seaweed and walked out into the cool night breeze. They stood on the crumbling remnants of an old jetty with huge rusting iron mooring rings set in the weathered concrete. The turning tide was already a foot or more over the surface, and Ryan guessed that the nukes must have caused a local earth shift. When it was first built, the quay would have been a good many feet proud of the high tide level. The night was piercingly black, with only scudding white clouds staining the oppressive darkness of the sky. Ryan found it difficult to see through the blown spume off the ocean, but he had the impression of a vast distance out beyond the edge of the jetty, and of monstrously high cliffs scraping upward behind them.
Stairs, iron, up there.
Jack pointed up by the side of the pair of doors.
Not safe. I'll ride it down.
Just what I needed. I always wanted to climb up a crumbling ladder in pitch dark over rocks and sea.
The rungs and side supports of the ladder had been worn down until many of them were thinner than a child's finger. Despite the bitter chill and the rising wind, Ryan found himself sodden with sweat, which was running down the small of his back and was making his hands even more slippery. He lost track of how long and how high they'd been climbing. For the first few minutes, he'd been able to peer down between his boots and see white water breaking over the quay's rough edges. The next time he looked down, all that had vanished. There was nothing to be seen above him and nothing below. Every now and again, Ryan felt Christy, climbing second, touch his foot. But for most of the spidering ascent, he felt utterly alone, suspended in the yawning chasm between earth and heaven. Once, a rung broke under his foot, and he swung for a heart-stopping second by his hands, conscious only of the frailty of the metal and the appalling distance he would fall. The wind was rising, tugging at his clothes, trying to jerk the G-12 off his shoulders. His hair blew about his face. A large gold burst shrieking from a cleft in the rock, nearly dislodging his grip and sending him spinning into the void. But he held on and kept climbing remorselessly upward. The ladder could only possibly have been built there for emergency purposes. There was no human way of making the climb except in the direst of needs. The wind had become almost a full-blown gale, howling like a cemetery banshee, deafening him to every other sound. It blanked out all of his senses, except the ones that enabled him to grip the rusting iron and haul him painfully upward, a trembling step at a time. Ryan paused and blinked the spray from his eye, staring up. He was able to see only a few feet, but seeing, thinking he was seeing, the sharp edge of concrete only a half dozen rungs above his head. It had to be the top of the climb. The sides of the ladder rose up and over in a semicircle of freezing, pitted metal. Ryan, drained by the struggle of leading the others into unknown blackness, clambered clumsily over the rim and collapsed on hands and knees on smoother stone. Christy joined him a moment later.
I've done easier things, lover. Hope the others can make it.
Only one way. Can't go down.
It seemed an eternity before the next head loomed into sight, mirrored sunglasses making it appear like a bizarrely mutated stick insect.
Doc's close behind. Near falling. Lori tied herself to him with her belt. Told him if he let go, he'd take her with him. Been pulling from above. I would not do that again for eternal life.
With a great effort, the three of them managed to heave the old man and the girl over the brink onto the flat platform. Doc collapsed, totally exhausted, and Lori fell behind him.
Five up and two to go.
Jack was next, hair plastered to his angular skull like a snow mask. He was sobbing for breath, and he joined Lori, doubled up. Last was JB, his trusty fedora jammed down the front of his jacket. His glasses were totally misted with sea spray, but he climbed the last few steps as sprightly as if he'd been out for an afternoon stroll. Ryan had found a small iron door covered in lichen at the rear of the platform, and he left the others and pulled at it, finding that it swung open easily. His eye winced at the brightness of light inside, startling after the long blackness. But he could see enough to make out a slackly grinning mouth and shadowed eyes. And below that, the twin barrels of a sawed-off shotgun.
Hi. Who are you?
The face above the scattergun was at least 60 years old, lined and furrowed, with a pale, unhealthy sheen to it, overlaid with a gray patina of dust and grease. The crazed eyes stared at Ryan out of pits of scoured bone, deadly flat and so dark a brown that they blurred into black. There were no teeth in the yellowed gums that leered at Ryan Cotter. The being's hair was the color of rotting corn, pasted thinly over the crumpled scalp. Both ears pointed backward instead of forward. The man wore a shapeless suit of crudely woven wool, dyed a sickly green-yellow. Ryan wrinkled his nose at the foul smell of damp and decay that billowed around him.
Who are you?
Name's Ryan Cotter. What do they call you?
Don't know. No name for me. How you come?
Up the ladder. Had a boat wrecked below on the rocks. Climbed up. Long way, isn't it?
The head nodded, but the gun never shifted. The stranger's finger never moved off the twin triggers of the battered Remington.
Long way. Yeah, sure is. Up and up and up and up.
The man was a perfect target for anyone behind Ryan, with that bright light haloing him, and he wouldn't be able to see any of the others in the blackness outside. However, any of the other six would also be able to see the shotgun pointing just below Ryan's breastbone. The odds were good that a bullet through the toothless mouth could also mean a hole in Ryan's guts. Ryan took care not to let his own fingers stray toward the blaster in his belt.
Why the gun?
Why not? There's a riddle in it. Riddle me, read. You come the ladder?
Yeah.
Up it?
Sure.
Now you go down it.
How's that?
The muzzle jabbing toward Ryan made it clear what the mutie meant.
Down. Down. You got any cokes?
Drinks, you mean?
The face split wider in a smile of delight.
You know it.
In a few of the redoubts that Ryan Cotter had helped to uncover, there had been rooms full of supplies. The familiar red and white cans were sometimes there, still good and drinkable after all the long years.
Could have?
Where?
In the boat, out there.
He pointed behind him, where he could sense the others waiting tensely for a chance to chill the stranger.
I've been here lots of days. Found a room with cans of Coke in it. Had...
A look of concentrated effort crossed the thing's face.
Had me same cans as fingers every day. More lots of times. All days been here, all life been here.
Ryan's mind boggled. If this gibbering dotard had really been in this redoubt all his life, and had been drinking 10 cans of soft drink every day, he must have finished off hundreds of thousands of them. Somewhere, there must be a graveyard of tins bigger than a dozen war wags.
Not had any for days now. Lots of days. How many you got?
Lots.
Ryan held up both hands to show 10 fingers, clenching and opening them, drawing in the sunken, mad little eyes. The barrels of the scattergun wavered for a moment, which was all that Ryan needed. He slashed down with his left hand, parrying the blaster away, simultaneously diving low into his left inside the doorway.